Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled, and that is Israel, the they is Israel. You need to write that in your Bible. Don't write it in a note. Write it in your Bible. They is Israel. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the richness of the world, the diminishing them, the richness of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And he's talking about the second coming and the kingdom and all that kind of thing. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Now, the apostleship here is Paul is called to be the apostle of the what?
Gentiles.
Gentiles. And that will end up being and forming what we know as the body of Christ. Okay? Y'all with me? That is it. Now, there is a church before started back here with Jesus Christ and is being formed here. And this is a separate church. And people get confused between the doctrine of the two. Okay? And that's where the churches have really got confusion. Now, you remember on Sunday we had the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, and they all say certain things. What, you know, I'm not concerned about what they're saying. Y'all understand? That isn't my issue. The issue is, what are you believing in the Bible? Because you can believe them, or you can believe the Bible, but it's very hard to believe them and the Bible at the same time. Does that make sense? And so people walk in a sense of confusion. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul is uniquely different than the other. In fact, you want to write it in Romans 11, verse 13, Matthew chapter 10, if you don't have it. I'm watching you. You're writing Matthew 10, so you don't have all the notes there, Tony. I'm watching you.
Matthew 10 has never been mentioned before since we've been together because I've got all
the... It's in Larry's. Matthew chapter 10. Now watch this. This is in comparison with Matthew chapter 10. Now this is very, very important. As you start to grow in grace and start to understand your Bible, you got to know a couple things. Who, when, why, what, and where. Remember that in the old English saying? Who's speaking? When are they speaking? What are they saying? To whom are they speaking it to? And on and on. Y'all understand? And people just kind of threw all that out when they started reading the Bible. They thought, well, you know, it's almost narcissism when you start to think that the Bible is all about you. Y'all understand? When you think it's, you know, and we kind of teach narcissism to our children. That is, they believe the world centers around them. And we've kind of done that for our children. Amen? You know, it's like the birthdays, it's all about them. Except when it's Jesus' birthday, it's still all about them. You know, and on, you know how it goes. So, you know, we're going to try to say who, what, why, when, and where. Now go to Matthew chapter 10. This is the comparison to Romans 11 verse 13. Verse 1. Romans 10 verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out. By the way, did they have power before the Holy Ghost came on them?
No. Yes.
Yes. He just gave it to them, and they haven't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. I thought, well, I'll read the answer first, and they'll get it right. Oh, well.
Trick question.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a trick question. I gave you the answer first. Now, when they had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, Levius, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. How many men is that?
12.
Now, it's fascinating to me, in just the simple numbers, there's one man to the Gentiles, and there's 12 men to Israel. How many tribes of Israel are there?
12.
How many prophetic months?
12.
How many thrones?
12.
You start to get that the number 12. How many sons did Jacob have?
12.
How many tribes? 12. 12 is connected with who?
Israel.
Now watch this. Verse 5, and you ought to underline this, score this, highlight this, mark it. Good. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Now, if you got a commandment of Jesus Christ walks in the door, and he says, Norm, I command you to do this. Would you do it?
Yes.
This is what he commanded these 12. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the what?
Gentiles.
He said, ruh-roh. That's right. Ruh-roh. Say it. Ruh-roh.
Uh-oh.
You know, listen, you're a Gentile. He just told those 12 not to go, Renee, not to go to you. Ruh-roh. You know, because, you know, I'd always heard Jesus came for everybody, right? That isn't the case. And in fact, look at verse 5 again. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now the Samaritans were both Jew and Gentile mix. So even where there was some Gentile blood, do not enter. And look, hold it, look at Peter's attitude even after the cross. Go to Acts chapter 10. Go to Acts chapter 10. After the Lord had spoke to Peter, after he put the sheet out three times, told him to take and eat, and he said, nothing unclean has passed my lips, Lord. And the Lord said, take, kill, and eat. Even after that vision, he's standing at the door of Cornelius, and he knocks on the door. This is the first thing he says. He said, and he said unto them, Cornelius and the group there, you know how that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Did he feel comfortable going to a Gentile?
No.
Why? Jesus commanded him, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. You got it? Guess what you... Huh?
Verse 28.
Acts 10:28. I didn't say 28? Ooh, this room, this side of the room is turning on me. This side over here has ESP.
Your wife knows.
It's the problem people at work have.
They have that problem too? They don't have ESP?
Well, they don't
have
that side of the brain.
Oh, that's the problem. It's the wrong side of the brain. Should I read it again? Now since you're there, let's try it again. It's a lot more fun when I read to you. It's like a bedtime story. And he said unto them, you know how that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come on to one of another nation. I mean, that attitude came directly from these attitudes of Acts chapter, or Matthew chapter 10. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Yes.
I thought the Great Commission said go into all the nations.
He did, but it was to find Jews. The Jews were scattered. Remember Acts chapter 8?
What about the world?
Yeah, he wasn't worried about the world.
Isn't that in Mark?
Yeah. Well, it's in Mark 16 and Matthew 28, but that's not the Great Commission. And by the way, let me just deal with that issue. Give me a second on that because I'll come to that. In Matthew chapter 10 again, read with me in verse 5. Matthew chapter 10 verse 5 again. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But do what? Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who would that be?
Jews.
Verse 8, or 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, do what? Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive. Where did they get it? From verse 1. They had that power. And you want to put in your Bible right there, you want to write this note in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. What does it say? The Jews require a sign. Why would they be healing the sick? Cleanse the lepers.
For a sign.
Raise the dead.
For a sign.
Yeah, the Jews require a sign. You got it? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 should be written in your Bible. So, let's try this theory. Matthew 15, verse 22. Matthew 15. A Gentile woman enters the scene. First time it happens, right here. Verse 22. Y'all there? Matthew 15, 22. You don't need ESP. I will repeat myself. If you got it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
And behold, a woman of Canaan, which would be a what?
Gentile
woman, and you can look in Mark 7, verse 26, it's a Syrophoenician woman, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now stop, everybody hold it. Look up. Look at me on the thing, don't look at your Bible. She knew who Jesus Christ was, amen? She said, Lord, thou what? Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. What do you expect him to do? Sterling?
Look for a sign.
You deal with it, right? That's what I... But look what happens. Verse 23. But he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, answer her not a word. Why? He just told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, go not in the way of the Gentiles. So he can't go because he just told them not to go. And his disciples came. Now watch this. Can you imagine this? If this was your daughter and you were that Gentile woman and his disciples came and besought him saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. I'd never heard that. I'd been in church all my life, and I'd never heard that. And you know why? Because she was a Gentile. She was like you in this room. In fact, she was actually closer to the Lord than you in this room were. She was in covenant. And he says very clearly in verse 24, but he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of what?
Israel.
You may want to put John chapter 10, or John chapter 1, verse 11, right there. Oh, that's good. We're going to make some smart cookies out of you guys.
Genesis 12, 1 and 3.
Wow, that's a good one. Why don't you put that there too? Genesis chapter 12. 1, 2, 3. This part of the broadcast is brought to you by Diet Coke. We appreciate Diet Coke being a sponsor of Grace Bible Church, and we appreciate it. They pay lots of money to get that in there, I'm telling you. You know, I ought to show them some of our footage. We may be able to get a sponsorship.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to work on that.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, sponsor the broadcast. It may get free. Sterling, you are on top of this, buddy. I'm going to put you in charge of finding out if we can do this.
Yeah, we're having to buy them now on sale, whatever, to try to...
Yeah, just to keep the preacher happy.
Just to keep...
Now, but he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You notice I said that in an accent, made me feel much smarter. Genesis chapter 12. I'm having too much fun. I've had a good day all day today. No, I've not had any donuts. You know what it was? My wife made me collards tonight. She knows I love collards. I bet this is the first time my wife has cooked collards in 5 years. Yeah, it is.
Fresh ones. Yeah, these were fresh ones.
I get treated so well. I'm like, what do you call me at home? Tell them the truth. No, you. What do you call me, Lord, don't you?
Oh, you were did you get cornbread with those collards?
Yes, I did.
Oh, then you, you're, yeah.
How can your wife call you Lord if she believes in the Lord? She knows you're not the Lord.
Whoa.
You haven't read Ephesians chapter 5. Read me Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. All right, read it out loud. Get this on. Can we get a picture of her reading this? This ought to be good.
Romans chapter
5. No, Ephesians 5.
Ephesians. Oh, Ephesians.
Okay. 5 verse 31. What is it? What does the Bible say?
It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
Keep reading. The next verse.
And this great this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Right. Keep going.
Nevertheless, let anyone in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
That's right. Reverence, like the Lord. Revere him.
Right.
Right. And that's why Sarah called him Lord to Abraham. I'm for all practical purposes, her God. Now, I hope I'm a good God. I'm not like the big G. I'm like the little G. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right. So women should reverence their husband. Amen?
Amen.
And the good way to start is just by saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm kidding. You know, Brenda says, you got to be careful when I'm up here because people on the internet, they don't know you.
Yeah, that's right.
But if they ever got to know me, they'd love me.
Let the record show that.
Yes. All right. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I'll make thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And here it is, I will bless them that bless thee, that is the Gentiles, and I'll curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the shall all families of the earth be blessed. Okay? Go back to Genesis chapter or back to Matthew 15. So God, by design, back here in Genesis, had Israel, and God blessed who?
Israel.
And then anybody under Israel that blessed Israel, the blessings would fall from Israel to them. But the ones that cursed Israel and wouldn't bless, God curse them. And who's an example of that? Goliath. How about Pharaoh? You know, all of them. You know, you can just go back and see history. God cursed them. Well, look what happens. Verse 24. Matthew 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now watch. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread. The children would be who?
Israel.
Israel. And the bread would be what?
The Word of God.
You got it?
Or the good news of the kingdom.
Or the good news, but it's the Word of God.
Yeah.
And cast it to the dogs. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. What did she just call that lady?
A dog.
Now, that isn't a great way. You know, I've read How to Win Friends and Influence. That's not how you start a good conversation. You know what she says? That's true, Lord. That's true. Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table, just like in Genesis chapter 12. Who was her master?
Israel.
She had enslaved herself. You know, it's funny, because we live in the South, and blacks talk about slavery. You know, whites have been in slavery. Everybody's been in slavery at one time or another in all the world. But in this case, slavery could win you a favor with God. Think about it. She was, her master was Israel. She was enslaved to Israel. Why? She knew wherever Israel was, God's blessings would be. And it's just like the story of Ruth. You all know the story of Ruth, right? Naomi has some boys, and her husband dies, and the boys die, and there's Oprah and Ruth. And Ruth basically said this, "Your God is my God. Where you go, I go." And that attitude was exactly what this woman had. Do you all understand? And God blessed her not because she believed in Jesus. God did not bless her because she was came to the Lord. God blessed this woman because she submitted unto Israel. And by the law, by the rule of the covenant, owed this lady a blessing. Do you understand? Now, God didn't owe you anything. You had never blessed Israel, never found a Jew and taken them, and it didn't happen. Verse 27. "And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto him, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And thy daughter was made whole that very hour." Now, why did he end up dealing with her? Because she blessed Israel. He could not deal with her. So what about this apostle to the Gentiles? Go back to Romans 11, verse 13. I can tell that we got some apostles to the Jews. Amen?
Amen.
But out in Romans 11, verse 13, we have this man who is now the apostle to the who?
Gentiles.
That's unique. Can you say unique?
Unique.
Unique. That's unique. You know what that does? That fascinates me. Doesn't it fascinate you? That's unique. Romans 11, verse 13. "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." He didn't say, "I magnify me." I magnify my office, the thing that God has called me to do. What is he? The apostle of the Gentiles. Go to Romans 15, 16. Now you're going to want to write these notes down, memorize them, keep them in your, because this will be the difference between where you get your doctrine and where you don't. Romans 15, read with me in verse 15. Romans 15, 15. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the what?
Gentiles."
Who's the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles?
Paul.
Paul. Everybody say that.
Paul.
Louder.
Paul.
That's the guy. Don't make any mistake. There's no question here. I'm not asking, you think so, Brother Barry? Listen, I can read sixth grade English. Go to 1 Timothy. And go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Aren't you glad you have me as your Bible teacher?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be, it's an honor to be your Bible teacher. Taking on the denominational systems with half the brain tied behind my back. Just to make it fair. Alright. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look if you will in verse 7. "Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Who is the apostle, the preacher, the teacher of the Gentiles?
Paul.
Everybody.
Paul.
Who?
Paul.
Paul. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Who is the preacher, apostle, and the teacher of the Gentiles?
Paul.
Paul is. Well, you know, you can't do what Jesus told. You know, I mean, I saw these bracelets going around. JD, what would Jesus do? That was the bracelet. No way would you do what Jesus told you to do. Say, well, I believe in doing what Jesus told me to do. You're a liar. Say, oh, no, no, I believe in doing what Jesus told you to do. Well, let's see if you do. Let's try a couple things. Go to Matthew. Aren't you glad you have me as a teacher? I mean, you know, you can be in a church saying, well, I believe in doing what Jesus do. Well, let's see if you really believe in doing that. Matthew, I want Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Now, this is what Jesus said. Anybody got a red letter Bible? All right. Is this in red letters? All right, this is what Jesus said, right? Now, if you know, all these people, they're a little chicken breast set out, and, oh, I'm going to do what Jesus did. Listen what he says. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. How do you think they would feel about the Sabbath? Do you think they'd go on vacation on the Sabbath day?
No.
You think they'd go shopping on the Sabbath day?
No.
I doubt it. So what would happen since your righteousness already doesn't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees?
Well.
Yeah. You all understand? Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes. And you know what? They wouldn't have missed it. How many here has ever taken the Lord's name in vain? And when you keep the Sabbath day, how many days are you supposed to work?
Six.
Anybody here like to work 6 days, or do you like your 2 day week work weekend? Yep.
Or a 3 day like Miss Jean.
Or like three like Miss Jean, you spoiled rotten girl. Get it down to four. I want four and three. You do that? Verse 27. You heard that it was said of them of old times that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. How many here are adulterers? Raise your hand if you're an adulterer. Everybody in here. Well, what did it just say? Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter in. Now, there is another option. I can see that you're willing to do what Jesus said to do. I'm checking this if it's in the red letter. If I write, I offend thee. And you know what doctors would say? Well, God didn't really mean it. God didn't mean what he said. What he said was confusing. Just doesn't seem right that you'd pluck out your eye. He means it spiritually, but that's what he means. You got to pluck it out spiritually. And you climb on that computer and you go to the porno sites that no one sees you go into. Amen. Amen. And you act like, oh, I'm so good. You ain't worth a tinker's damn. And you know what? If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ being shed on that cross, you'd have no hope. But back then, before his blood was shed, what did he say? If thy right eye offend thee? What did that mean to you? How come we don't see any preachers walking around with a white cane? Come on, guys. Preachers aren't any good, are they?
No.
I'm certainly not any good. I bet Jimmy Swaggart thought he was good before he got up with that whore. Amen.
He probably thought he was
God, he was man of God, that he's some big deal. You know what I am? I'm nothing. I am a sinner that's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, period. I have nothing to brag about. You got anything to brag about? Come on, bring it down here. You know what he says? All your righteousness are nothing but filthy rags. Come on, bring them down here. Let's hear them. I'd like to hear your braggadocious attitude of how good you are. You know what? People are so self-righteous that it makes me want to throw up. It is. It's sickening. I mean, if you're so, excuse the term, damn righteous, pluck your eye out. Do what Jesus said. Say, I believe in doing Jesus. No, you don't believe in doing what Jesus said. You want to find a way around what Jesus said. And you know what? The religious Pharisees and the religious leaders did the exact same thing. And it's fascinating to me. Are you fascinated yet? Oh, I believe in doing what Jesus did. Oh, really? You know what he said about praying out loud in public? You don't go out there, and yet I see all these religious people go out to their dinner table and bow their heads when Jesus Christ told them not to do that. Specifically. Oh, well, I'm going to do what Jesus said. I'm going to pray. And you know, preachers, they always ask me to pray, and I say, okay. And I leave and go into the bathroom. So we just ask him to pray. Well, he said, when thou pray, enter into thy closet. Closest closet is that water closet that I know of. Now, guys, I'm not playing with you. I'm telling you that people today don't really believe their Bible. Look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Now, watch this. Are y'all there? Matthew 6, verse 5. See, I repeated that twice. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the what?
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets at the restaurants. Have you ever noticed them? That they may be seen of men. People go, oh, look at that Christian family over there. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the what? How come we don't do that? I've been to churches where they do these long prayers like, Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful all the, and they just go on and on. People come out and say, Deacon John, that was just really a marvelous prayer. And you know what? That prayer never even got above the ceiling. It is all for show. It's just, huh?
And they say thank you.
Yeah, like, oh, I appreciate the ability to pray for you. You know what? I can tell you how to pray. When you get in your closet and you're crying so daggum hard to God, you don't even know how to get the words out your mouth. Then you're probably close to praying. When your heart is wrenched in such a way that it's sunk deep down into your gut and you can't even mumble the words because if you did, it would sound foolish. And there's an example of that called Hannah in the Bible. They thought she was drunk with wine. Said, why are you talking like that? She couldn't even get the words out of her mouth. She couldn't even ask God. You know what Paul says? Your apostle says, I don't even know what to pray for as I ought. I don't even know how to pray. I don't know whether to pray for mom to live or for mom to die. I don't know whether to pray for the church to grow or to stay the same size. I don't know how to pray. Would anybody come like to teach me how to pray? I'd like to know. Heavenly Father, dear God, you righteous King. And it's all show. He said, but when you go to pray, you enter into the closet. Look what he says. Now when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the street that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee what? Well, that's the way to pray, amen. How many? Come on, everybody help me. Our Father, who art, which art in heaven, hallowed will be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know what's weird? That prayer is connected with this next statement. Look what he said. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to, if I shall die. How come we all know the same prayer? Because what we've done is exactly what Jesus Christ told us not to do. He told us not to use vain repetition, as the heathens do. How come we all do that? Sterling and they're going like, wow. Isn't that unbelievable? Is that not what he said? Use not vain repetition, as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Listen, here's a hint, guys. God knows exactly what you need before your knees ever hit the ground. You all understand? Let me try to say that again. God already knows your need before your knee ever hits the ground. And He's there to make intercession for you. Isn't that incredible? So someone please come teach me to pray.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm talking to somebody and it ain't you. You don't use vain repetition. Yet that's how we learned our prayers, amen. God is great. God is good. We all know the same prayer, isn't that weird? What did he say? But when ye pray, everybody. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray, Our Father which art in heaven. Well, that was the most repeated prayer in history. Amen? What did He tell us not to do? How come that's the most repeated prayer? Because we just do it over and over and think somehow we're getting closer to God. Folks, listen, let me tell you what. When you finally figure out how to pray, please come share it with me. You can ask me anything. I may not answer it. No.
He's talking to Jews here.
He is talking to Jews.
We're already heathens. We're supposed to pray like heathens.
No, well, we did pray like heathens before we got saved. But listen, once you get saved, you know what? Your prayer life will change.
That's right. Amen.
People say, why don't you make big prayers for the church and all that? Listen, most of my prayers are at home. Me and Brendan pray for you guys. We pray together in our own little cubbyhole. We pray for each other and pray for our leaders and whatever. But I don't need to make a big scene. And you know what? If you're saved, you don't need to make a big scene either. Who's your apostle and teacher and preacher?
Paul.
Okay, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Who's teaching you that?
Paul.
What's that for Gentiles? We don't even know what to pray for as we ought. Amen? You know, quit acting like you know something. Y'all understand? Well, I'm telling you, your apostle, your teacher, your preacher just told you you don't know what to pray for, y'all. Just chill out. Amen? Why? What's the deal? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you trust the Father?
Yes.
Do you trust the Son? Yes. The Son's making intercessions for you. Just relax. That's what your apostle says. How do you pray without ceasing? Pray always. That's what, you know, the apostle Paul said, pray always. It's very hard to enter into the closet and be praying. Of course, I found that my closet is the cab of my car. And when I'm out there driving, I'm praying all the time. Lord, cause that idiot to slow down. Look, Lord, if he gets back in my way, I'm going to hit him. Move him, Lord. And I don't give the single finger wave very much, but one time I was driving with my son, Jonathan. I don't even know where he got this from. He gets it from the deacon's kid, from Hannah or somebody. I don't know where he got this from. I'm driving down the road, and this guy is a cutter-offer, you know those guys? And so I roll down my window and said, look, buddy, slow down. I'm on my way to Birmingham. I said, slow down, we'll all get there. That crazy idiot pulled out a bat and started swinging at my headlights. And you know what my son said? Dad, shoot him the bird! Shoot him the bird! I'm like, where did you get that from? Tony's kids? I mean, you know, I didn't know where he learned that from. But he wasn't in the praying mood at that point. He was in a fighting mood. And I said, Jonathan, settle down. You know, at that point, we're fearing for our lives, you know. He's like, Dad, show him who's it. I'm like, look, we'll just back down slowly. That was the first hint that Jonathan actually knew his dad was a coward. Yeah, amen, brother. And that's why I'm going to live a long time.
Kind of hard playing tag with a baseball bat.
Oh, buddy, I mean, but he was like, flip him off. He didn't want to pray for him, you know, pray for your enemies. Heck with that, Dad, flip him off. I'm like, where did you learn that? Where's your brother and sister? Guys, I don't know what to pray for as I ought. But you know what? I thank God he's making intercession for me. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I he's my apostle. He's my preacher. He's my teacher. He's my pattern. You know, he's an example to us. Let's look at a couple of those. Go to I think it's 1 Timothy. Verse 16. Paul is the pattern. You know what a pattern is? Ladies know what patterns are. They cut out dresses, you know, and you lay the material down and... You know, I know you're totally amazed that I can draw a pattern that well. And you staple the pattern, or not staple it, pin it to it, and then you have like dotted lines where the stitches are going to go, right? And you staple, and then you mark it with carbon paper onto the thing, and then you cut your pattern out, and then you put your pattern, your sewing line to fit it because it's made by size, and you make an exact copy. An exact copy. Y'all with me? Well, Paul is your exact copy. Jesus is not your exact copy. Paul is your exact copy. Who are you supposed to follow?
Paul.
And this is what it says in your Bible, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. You notice how I repeated that? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in Peter, James, and John first.
No.
Howbeit that for this cause I have obtained mercy, that in Jesus Christ first, Jesus Christ might show forth. No. Howbeit for this cause I have obtained mercy, that in me, who's me?
Paul.
Me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to life after life everlasting. Who is the pattern?
Paul.
Who should we follow? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and read with me, if you will, in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16, the Bible says this, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of who?
Paul.
Me. Who's me?
Paul.
You need to write that in your Bible. That's Paul. Me, Paul. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Never had this much fun at church, did you? You should pay extra for that. Everybody throw in an extra $2 when you leave tonight. That's at least worth two. I mean, listen, you guys pay $7.50, $9.50 for the movie shows. This only lasts an hour, so I don't wear you out. Your butt's still not numb by the time you leave. And it's been entertaining. Amen? It's worth $2. Are you all there? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul is our what? We're to follow who? Paul. Go to Philippians. Go to Philippians. Go to Philippians 3, verse 17. Philippians 3, verse 17 says this, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk, so you have us for an example, for many walk. Now listen to this. Of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not an example for you. They're not teaching you. You know how many churches in Montgomery, Alabama are teaching that Paul is their apostle? One. Then I would have to tell you weeping that these other people, they're what? Enemies. Why? Who is your pattern? Man, if you don't even know that, how can you make your pattern? You're copying the wrong copy. You're copying what Israel should be copying. Who did Jesus Christ come for? The lost sheep of the house of
Israel.
And when he said, thy right eye offend thee? You know what Paul said about sin? It's all been forgiven at the cross. It's paid for. Can you say hallelujah?
Amen.
That's incredible. I mean, come on, guys. This is incredible stuff. He's our example. He's our pattern. We're supposed to follow Him. And you know the problem is people are following Peter. Now watch this. I'm going to give you an example. Go to Acts 2:38 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grab both of them. And we'll end here tonight. I noticed that Terry got you guys to sit for an hour and 18 minutes. I was watching on the internet. And you guys are already fidgety with me, and it's only 4 minutes still. Now, I resent that. I just want you to know that. I saw you wiggling a little bit.
Me?
Yeah, Norm's over there going, hmm.
Well, let me explain. I have to do my legs.
She always moves them.
All right, I'll let you go. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many baptisms are in there? Two. One by water and one by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, how many here has heard that at church? Raise your hand if you've heard that at church. Now, here's the problem. I said 1 Corinthians, but grab Ephesians chapter 4, too. Yeah, and hang on to 1 Corinthians because we're coming back. Just go to Ephesians 4 real quick. Now, your apostle, your teacher, your preacher, how many baptisms was that?
Two.
This is what your apostle said. Verse 5. One Lord, everybody with me. One Lord, one faith.
One baptism.
How many?
One.
How many did Peter preach?
Two.
Well, which one's right? Who's your preacher, apostle, and teacher?
Paul.
How many did he say?
One.
How many did Peter say?
Two.
Well, isn't that odd? Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What doctrine are you going to follow? Peter's doctrine? Most of us have been baptized in water. Amen? Well, the one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, I should have given you this, is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body. It isn't even water. Doesn't have anything to do with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at this. Can you imagine if water baptism was required? For Christ, verse 17, thought you were going to catch me with that ESP thing again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me
not to baptize.
Well, wasn't Peter baptizing?
Yes.
But Paul said Christ sent him not to baptize. Well, which one's right?
Paul.
Who's your apostle, preacher, teacher?
Paul.
I want you to say Barry. Come on. Who's your apostle, preacher, and teacher?
Paul.
Paul. Come on, I want you to say I'm following Barry. Who do you follow?
Paul.
That's right. You don't follow a preacher. God told you the man to follow. The man to follow. And if I was worth any salt as a man of God, you know what I'd say? Don't follow me. Oh, I'm a great man of God. I mean, John R. Rice and some of these guys. Hey, I wouldn't want you to follow me. If I wanted you to be biblical, who would I want you to follow?
Paul.
And did Paul baptize?
No.
Aren't you supposed to be like that?
Yes.
So Christ sent me?
Not to baptize.
But God did send Peter to baptize. He did baptize some. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't have to confuse the issue. I mean, that's true. I mean, I'm not teaching on baptism. I can do that. But that's not what I'm doing tonight. You understand that Christ sent him not to baptize. You don't have to get confused. Paul did baptize some. You say, well, you're trying to trap me. No, I can explain the whole thing. I just can't do it in 4 minutes.
Amen.
I mean, there's just some things you can't grab at the first part of it. This is what I want you to grab out of this sermon tonight. Very simple. Who's your apostle?
Paul.
Who did Jesus call?
Paul.
He also called the 12. He called the 12 and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the
Gentiles.
And into any city of the Samaritans.
Go ye not.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the
house of Israel.
Okay, that's you got to grab that. Paul is a pattern. We're supposed to follow who?
Paul.
He's our example, Philippians 3. Right? The doctrine for you is in the books Romans through Philemon. 13 books. And those books declare the doctrine of the Word of God rightly divided. Now, what happens if the doctrine of Romans through Philemon agrees with Matthew?
Amen.
It's okay. It still works, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But what happens if there's disagreement where one says two baptism and one says one? What do we follow?
One.
The one, the Paul. What happens if it says, you know, don't be as hypocrites are, and one says you don't even know how to pray as you are? What do you do?
Don't pray as you are.
Yeah, you don't know how to pray as you are. You see, guys, you'll start to learn as you walk in grace that there's a difference between the doctrines of Romans through Philemon and the doctrine to the 12 and to Israel. And it's really that simple. And can I make it more complicated? Actually, I can get down to little itty-bitty words that will prove it. But the general pictures ought to be fairly easy. This part of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is written to the what? 12 tribes of Israel. This, Romans through Philemon, is written to the church, which are basically Gentiles. And then when we get done, Hebrews through Revelation over here is going to be for who?
Israel.
Israel again. And the rapture will happen right there. That's the way it is. You know? And it isn't a guessing game for me. The next great event on planet Earth, are you listening to me? Will be you that are saved leaving the planet. You will not be here. Say, will you be here during the tribulation? Look at me. No. Why? God's not appointed me to wrath. Okay? So let's get out of here. Take what you got. Go home and study it. Really enjoy it. And we appreciate you showing up.